Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Power to Break by Lisa Suzanne, narrated by Dara Rosenberg and Alexander Sendiz. Part 1. The Past. Our History Defines Our Present. Chapter 1. Danny. December 17th, 1999. I stood outside the door and listened, waiting to overhear the inevitable comments of praise they'd make. Jocelyn, my best friend, had tried to convince me to have a beer earlier. She'd said it would calm my nerves, but since I didn't drink and hated the taste of beer, I refused. Besides, I'd been about to sing a song in front of two boys I basically idolized. I needed a clear head for a strong voice. I thought, maybe I'd get a drink afterward. And now that it was afterward, I was really wishing I knew how to drink. Ethan and Mark had talent, real talent, and their opinions meant the world to me. Especially Ethan's. Especially after that little kiss we shared that no one, not even Joss, knew about. I knew those two boys would find success in the music industry someday, even though they mostly just jammed in Mark's garage and occasionally played local bars. I was 2 years younger than them and only a sophomore. I was lucky enough to be at their party tonight because Ethan's younger sister Zoe was in my class. We didn't socialize in the same circles, but Zoe had invited practically the entire school. Since I knew Ethan would be there, I couldn't miss it. He wasn't just the senior I had a crush on. He was a boy full of mischief who made me feel tingles when he looked in my direction. We'd spoken a few times, and that kiss, it just happened a couple weeks ago. I was walking through the hallway on my way back to class. He'd been hanging outside a classroom, one knee bent with his foot propped flat against the wall, every inch the bad boy.
"Sweet little Danny Mayne," he'd said to me.
I glanced around me stupidly. Who the heck else would he be talking to? I was the only Danny Mayne in the school. But why was this senior boy I had a massive crush on talking to me? How do you even know who I was? It's not like his sister and I were close. Yes, I'd stuttered. He chuckled, maybe at my innocence, or maybe at the way my face heated as my name passed his lips. He stepped closer to me.
"Shouldn't you be in class?"
I nodded, my juvenile ponytail swinging behind me as I clutched a laminated paper hall pass. I flashed it at him to prove I was allowed to be in the hallway. "I'm on my way back. Shouldn't you be?" He rolled his eyes and jerked his head toward the classroom door.
"That bitch in there kicked me out, and I'm supposed to be waiting out here to get yelled at."
He lifted a shoulder.
"It is what it is."
"And it isn't what it isn't." He chuckled at my retort to that stupid saying.
"I wasn't even doing anything wrong."
He took another step closer to me. Close enough for me to smell some mixture of lemons and sin and the stale cigarette smoke that clung to his shirt. I wanted to know why he smelled like lemons, but I was too scared to ask.
"But when I look at you, I want to do all sorts of wrong things."
He must have been 17, so it wasn't that wrong. It might be once he turned 18, but he was only 2 years older than me. My body shuddered violently. I'd never even kissed a boy, unless you count that closed mouth nothing of a kiss my homecoming date tried to lay on me before I pulled away. He reached out and rolled a strand of my hair between his thumb and finger before he tucked it behind my ear, and my heart hammered. Up close, he seemed so much older than 17, like he'd lived a lifetime already. He was mature, and he was nothing like the boys in my class. His rough fingertips grazed the curve of my neck, and my eyes closed. He leaned forward, and his lips brushed mine while my body lit with nervous energy. My knees became so shaky, I was sure they were knocking together loudly enough for him to hear. His massive body blocked me from being able to see around him, but I heard the classroom door open, and then the angry voice of his teacher.
"Ethan Fuller, get back here right now!"
His eyes opened and he pulled back. He gave me one long, hot look, and then he rolled his eyes and moved back toward his teacher, leaving me a mess in the middle of the hallway as I forced one leg to move in front of the other to hurry back to my classroom. I thought about that kiss every second of every day. I dreamed about his lips on mine. I thought about singing a song while he played the drums, about holding his hand, about life after we both graduated high school and what our future could hold. We hadn't had another encounter since that one. In fact, I hadn't even seen him since that day. And not because I wasn't constantly searching down every crowded hallway and peeking into classrooms I knew he was supposed to be in. That was why I had to go to the party. The only thing we had in common besides that kiss was music. We never had a real conversation, but he somehow stripped a piece of my innocence that day. And I needed more. I needed to find a way to get him to notice me. I wanted to hand over the rest of my innocence to him so he could do whatever he wanted with it. While I loved singing, was a proud member of the school chorus, and pulled the lead in every school musical despite my age, he was the opposite. He didn't get involved in anything music-related at school. Instead, he and Mark played bars where they couldn't even stay afterward to drink because they were underage, though I'm sure he found a way to sneak a beer anyway. He had less than 6 months until he was done with North Chicago High School. He was going to leave this place and do great things with his life. Anyone could see that from just looking at him. I knew about Ethan's rough upbringing, his imprisoned father, the revolving door of men his mother introduced to her kids. I'd seen him getting talked to by teachers after class, serving time in detention, and making out with girls under the bleachers. My naive mind never imagined he took it further than that, but maybe he did. What did I know? I was just a little girl who loved singing and had all the school spirit in the world and had a massive crush on a senior boy. It was the last day of final exams, and we had 2 weeks off ahead of us. 2 weeks of sleeping in and lying in our pajamas without homework, practice, or any other responsibilities weighing us down. 2 weeks to daydream about a stolen kiss in the hallway, and wonder with nervous anticipation whether there'd be more. And now? I'd have 2 weeks with Ethan's words rolling over in my mind. It had been my idea to do a little Christmas caroling. A few of my chorus friends were at the party, too, and they'd been drinking. I nudged Monica and told her we should sing the finale of our Christmas concert, and she was on board. She got Lizzie, Mark's sister, on board, too. I had a long solo during the finale, and I was set to impress the boy of my literal dreams. We sang our song, and I crushed my solo with my eyes on Ethan the entire time. I swore he was looking back at me with something akin to admiration. It couldn't have just been my imagination. I was sure this was going to happen for us. I felt it. And the way he looked at me. I was never more certain that he felt it too. I was going to make my move. I wasn't sure how, but I was going to listen to him talk to his best friend about how amazing I was, and then I was going to work up the nerve to tell him I liked him. It sounded so juvenile, and it was more than just like, but I had to start somewhere. I excused myself after we finished singing, and I exited the doors next to where Mark and Ethan stood. I was just on the other side from them, able to overhear their conversation since I left the door cracked open. My ears perked up when I heard my name leave Mark's mouth.
"Danny has quite the voice," Mark said.
He was cute, but he didn't make my heart race the same way Ethan did. We all have moments that define us. And Ethan's reply to Mark was one of mine. It was harsh and grating and memorable. And it set a completely new course for the rest of my life. His words came with a resolution to be better and a lifelong quest for revenge.
"If Y2K doesn't kill us," he said, "listening to that talentless pig sing another solo might."
Chapter 2. Ethan.
"Danny has quite the voice," Mark said. I couldn't admit the truth about my feelings for a sophomore. I couldn't admit that she made my heart beat faster, that I took the long route around the building just so I could walk past her locker, that I hid in the back row of the school plays and swore up and down I was only there for extra credit. I didn't know why I had these unfamiliar feelings for her, but I did know one thing. If I said them out loud, they'd be real, instead of just this idea in my head I could easily fight. Acting on them would be disastrous. She had the kind of beautiful soul that deserved better than anything I could possibly offer her. I barely knew her, but I knew enough to comprehend the truth. Not only that, but I might as well resign myself to the fact that I'd be stuck here forever if I admitted my real feelings. Thoughts of our kiss in the hallway a few weeks ago snuck into my mind constantly. I hadn't been able to help myself. I watched her brown ponytail swing naively behind her with each step she took down the hall, and I knew it was my moment. I'd dreamed up all the ways I could get her alone, but I never acted on it. She was the one girl I wanted more than any of the others, but she was like a forbidden fruit. If I had more than a single taste, I'd never be able to let her go. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that for her. She deserved better than what I'd ever be able to give her. Besides, I wanted to move on with my life, move out of Chicago, start fresh. So instead of admitting the truth to my best friend, I said, "If Y2K doesn't kill us, listening to that talentless pig sing another solo might." That girl threatened my resolve to get the hell away from my mother and father, to make something of my life. I deserved more than being a son of two people who never wanted me, and I deserved more than ending up like them, with a kid and wife I never wanted. I had to put up a fight. It's how I was raised, and it was all I ever knew. I didn't deserve to feel the way I did for her, but she didn't deserve to get twisted, chewed up, and spit out by someone like me. Pain and heartache is all I'd ever be able to offer her, no matter how much I wanted to be able to give her more, no matter how much she made my heart ache with need. "Jesus, Ethan," Mark muttered. "She's none of those things." He was right, but I wasn't about to admit that. Instead, I shrugged and took a sip of beer. Whatever. I walked away from my best friend because I didn't want to stand around talking about her anymore. He'd made a comment the week before about how he thought someone like Danny would be good for me, that we'd be good together, and I'd laughed it off. He'd said he saw the way she looked at me with stars in her eyes, and he thought I should give her a chance. I'd laughed in his face, until he started in on how hot she was. It took everything inside me not to beat the shit out of him. But seriously, who the fuck was he to talk about getting serious with one girl? It's not like he did it. Besides, what the hell did good together at 17 and 15 even mean? It was fucking Romeo and Juliet bullshit, that's all. And everyone knew what happened to them in the end. I wasn't about to change the course of my life for some teenage crush, and that was all it was. A simple crush on a girl who was on a completely different playing field than I was. She was sweet and talented and beautiful, and I was the big bad monster who would only hurt her in the end. Besides, a real, honest-to-God fucking talent agent showed up at our gig 2 weeks later. We played this local hole-in-the-wall bar called Sevens, and he'd heard about us from a friend. He was interested in talking about a record deal. A fucking record deal. We were still in high school, and someone was interested in giving us money to play music? It was just Mark and me and one other guy, Toby, who jammed with us, but he wasn't serious about music. We needed someone who was. I didn't know if anything was going to come of it, but I had to choose my future over some stupid high school girl. Drumming was my first and only true love. It was paradoxically the calm in the storm and the storm in the quiet, the very essence of what gave my life meaning. Hope. If I could have a real shot at playing professionally, I couldn't risk fucking that up because some chick gave me a boner. There'd be plenty of those hanging around if we caught a real break anyway. It was probably more complicated than that, but it was easy enough to simplify it down to that very equation in my mind. Life in general didn't look kindly upon the Fullers, and I had to grasp onto whatever lucky break I could find. Mark seemed to think this talent agent guy was trying to scam us out of money, but to me, it didn't matter. All that mattered was someone was interested in us, and I wasn't about to let anything or anyone hold me back from the ultimate dream. So rather than find sweet little Danny Maine and kiss her like I did in the hallway that day at school, kiss her good and long and hard like she deserved to be kissed, I looked around for Isabel Martin. She'd spread her legs for me more than once under the bleachers at school, and I knew she'd do it again if I shot her the smoldering look I'd practiced in the mirror at home. She was drunk on Jell-O shots, which made for an easy target. She'd help me forget about the sweet girl with the angelic voice who somehow managed to steal my heart when I wasn't paying attention. I'd pay better attention now, though. She couldn't have my heart when it belonged to my drum kit. I'd ignore her presence, forget about her, and dedicate my entire being to my craft. After I blew my load, of course. We were in the basement of my childhood home. My mother was staying the night at some boyfriend's house, and the only reason we even had a decent-sized house with a nice basement was because of my dad's fucking drug money. Setting my mom and us up in this house was the one good thing he did before his stupid ass got locked up for good. "Come up to my bedroom with me," I said. I figured I'd fuck someone in there tonight, so I straightened up. I tossed a pile of dirty clothes into my closet, pulled the old tattered blanket I used as a comforter off the bed and hid it on the top shelf of my closet, and cleared off every item from the top of my dresser except for a pair of drumsticks. My stash of weed was hidden right next to my lucky sticks under my mattress, and I thought for a split second Isabel and I could get high. But then I realized I didn't really want to share anything more than just sex with her. She didn't respond by nodding or speaking. Instead, her mouth covered mine. She wasn't who I wanted her to be. I shouldn't be doing this with her. I should be running after the one my brain was telling me to find. My brain typically had decent instincts, and I wasn't a listen-to-your-heart kind of guy. But instead of listening to my brain or my heart, I allowed my dick to lead the way up the stairs, through the house, up another set of stairs, and finally, into my bedroom.
Chapter 3. Danny. I decided to walk home. Admittedly, not the smartest choice I ever made. Ethan Fuller's house was a full 2 miles from my own home in the outskirts of Chicago, and I didn't know the way. I wasn't driving yet, didn't even have my permit. And I didn't pay attention to the streets and the roads because I was still at the age where I didn't have to. In that moment, though, I wished I had paid attention. It was dangerous. I didn't know where I was going, and I'd been so upset by what I'd overheard that I bolted without even telling Joss. I was sure she'd be angry I left without telling her, but I couldn't stay in that suffocating house a second longer as the words pressed against my chest and threatened to crush me into tiny specks of dust. I should have used the phone at the Fuller's house to call my parents to come pick me up. Should have done a million things differently, but I didn't. Instead, I was a defeated child walking in the dark in a direction I hoped was toward home. Tears streaming down my face as his words replayed over and over in my mind. I was too young and too stupid to be scared. I told my parents I was going to Zoe's house. I hadn't lied, but I also left out the fact that Zoe was having a huge party. They knew I harbored a crush on Zoe's brother, knew I wasn't that close with her, but in my school, everyone sort of knew everyone. My parents trusted I'd be fine. When I'd been walking for a half hour and didn't recognize any of the street names, that's when it hit me how stupid I'd been to leave alone. To leave before I confronted him and admitted I'd overheard him. I didn't have the guts to do that, though. Instead, I wished I was strong enough and mature enough to face him. I had the thoughts in my head of what I should do and how things should have played out. But acting like that just wasn't me. It hit me as I walked into a deserted gas station to use the payphone. The only way I could even compete on Ethan's level was to completely change who I was. He didn't want some cute little sophomore. He wanted a woman. I'd pack up sweet Danny Maine and put her on a shelf. I'd start over as someone different. Someone wild. Someone who kissed boys and used curse words and drank beer at parties before leaving to have sex under the bleachers with the bad boy. And he wouldn't even be the bad boy to me anymore because I'd be the bad girl. I'd be the one corrupting people without a care in the world. I wouldn't be scared. Wouldn't waste my time studying advanced placement novels and mathematical formulas in order to get ahead. I'd focus on me. On the things I loved. On the things I wanted to do. And it started right the heck now. Scratch that. It started right the fuck now. After I called my parents to come pick me up, of course. I'm serious, I told my parents. They stared at me like I had two heads. Dan, you can't just leave in the middle of the school year, my dad said. At least finish it out, and then you can transfer for your junior year. I shook my head as I used the tactics about argumentation I just learned in my pre-AP English class the month before. You don't understand, Dad. They have auditions for advanced choir at the end of sophomore year. If I want to try to get into a performing arts college, I need to start ticking things off the list now. I need to meet the teachers and study under the experts. It was less than a week until Christmas, and I thought about asking for that as my gift. But then I realized how childish it sounded. Instead of giving me presents, just let me switch schools. So I came up with a sound reason my dad wouldn't be able to refute. She's thinking ahead to college, Quentin, my mom said. We can't fault her for that. I was impressed with her reaction. Most parents whose kids wanted to major in music in college didn't give them the sort of support my parents gave me. Most would tell them to choose something else just in case music didn't work out. But my parents supported me 100%. They wanted what was the best for me, of course, but they also wanted me to be happy. They were willing to do whatever it took to put a smile on my face, and I'd just been about to pull out the NCHS is making me sad card when my mom said to my dad, "Let's talk about it tonight. Maybe we can do a one-semester trial and revisit in the summer." I looked to her gratefully. I felt guilty keeping the truth from her since we shared almost everything. But I was scared the words of one boy might play on repeat for the rest of my life. I couldn't do that to her, too. I couldn't put those words in her head and let them push her down the valley of depression I found myself facing 5 days after he'd said them. Running away, leaving, getting the heck out of there. That was a plan. I'd leave those words behind me in the past and focus forward. If I was a talentless pig, I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to work on my talent. I wanted to be something other than a pig. I didn't even know what he meant by those words. Was I fat? Was I a slob? Ugly? I'd never seen myself that way, but I'd been built up by the people around me my entire life. It's always easier to believe the negative. Give me 99 compliments, but I'd believe the one insult. His words preyed on every insecurity I ever had. They magnified those insecurities, gave them sharp, pointy edges, and twisted their way into my guts. They became words I believed, too, and I couldn't wait to get started on my new identity. I couldn't wait to leave his words behind me. to show I was worth more than what a snide remark made me out to be. He made me want to be something other than exactly who I was. And the first step was to get away from Ethan Fuller and everything that would remind me of him at NCHS. The next step would be to start over, to reinvent myself, to find my talent, and to prove him wrong. I knew of Chicago Valley Music School, but I'd never considered leaving the school I loved, where the boy I liked also went. But now it was my mission to go there. I just had to get my parents on board. They never had to know the real reason I wanted to leave was a blue-eyed monster named Ethan. Chapter 4. Danny. It was the first Christmas morning where I didn't feel like a little kid anymore. Usually I tore into my presents, paper flying around me in a tornado as I opened gift after gift. So many gifts since my parents went overboard every year and bought me all the things I had requested on my wish list. This year, though, I unwrapped them quietly and without enthusiasm. There was only one thing I really wanted, and my dad had already said no. I just couldn't muster up the act that I was happy this year because I simply wasn't. Each day of Christmas break that passed brought me closer and closer to the time when school would start again, when I'd have to face the boy who said the words. I'd relive those words every single day in every corner of the school. They'd dig at me and pinch me and cut me until I'd bleed out. This was more than a bad mood, or PMS, or teenage drama. This was more than just a bout of sadness, too. I was losing myself at the hands of a boy whose opinion meant more to me than anything in the world, and I didn't know how to climb out of it. I couldn't stop thinking I just wasn't good enough, and all I wanted to do was become good enough. I nodded my thanks and shot my parents small smiles after each box I opened. I caught them exchanging glances, and I was sure their silent discussion was about why I was like this on Christmas morning. All the presents were unwrapped, and my parents sipped coffee on the couch behind me while I fiddled with the Beanie Babies I was too old for, but my mom loved collecting. "I think there's one left," my dad said. I glanced up at him, and he had a twinkle in his eye. "It's empty," I muttered, jerking my head in the direction of the tree. "Underneath is, but I see something up there." He tilted his chin toward the tree, and I followed his gaze to a green envelope. The color blended in so well with the pine needles, I hadn't even seen it. I stood and walked toward it. The outside of the envelope had my name in my dad's familiar scrawl. My heart pounded as I tore it open. I had a feeling whatever was inside was going to be life-changing. I pulled out a small stack of papers. "Dear Daniela, we want your happiness above all else. Let's give it a try for 6 months. Love, Mom and Dad." I flipped to the next page, and there it was. My registration for Chicago Valley Music School. I looked up at them as I forced a smile onto my lips. "Thank you. I'm so happy," I whispered, pretending to be so overcome with emotion I couldn't get the words out. It was the first time I ever lied to my parents. I arrived a full hour early on the first day of school so I could make the rounds and introduce myself to my teachers. It was out of my comfort zone, but if I was starting over and reinventing myself, reaching out to people rather than being the shy girl in the back of the room was one of the first steps. I started at my new voice teacher's classroom, the first period on my schedule. I found the teacher looking bleary-eyed on the first Monday morning back to school after Christmas break. "Hi," I said. I'm a new student in your first period class and just wanted to introduce myself. She nodded at me and gave me a welcoming smile.
Mrs.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?